want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, come before you, Lord, this morning, and we just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, give us wisdom, Father, as we open your words. Help us hear them, Father. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would help us be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. That I would give my God my all. Whenever I was in the world, I gave myself to the world. I loved the world. I loved life. I loved everything in it. And I went after it with all my heart. Whenever I started following the Lord, and I saw the folly of how I lived, I determined that I wanted to follow the Lord with the same zeal that I followed the world. That there was no in between, that I was going to be one or the other. And I have to remind myself of that sometimes. The way gets weary, and I have to remember that if I was in the world, I'd still be serving it just as fervently as I always had. And so I have to remember to devote my life just to as deep a service to God as I had to myself. That's our desire, to lose ourselves in this world, to give up on what I want and to do God's will and to live for Him. And that is a choice that you have to make yourself. No one can make that for you. And God is not going to do it for you. This, I get sickened when I hear that you are depraved and you can't even make a right decision. That you're just totally helpless. And that you can't help yourself. When people tell you that, they're lying to you. You are responsible for your own actions in your own life. No one is responsible for you. The choice is yours of whom you're going to serve and who you're going to live for. People say that you're depraved and can't make that decision for yourself. I've got a dog that can make moral decisions for itself. And it knows when it disobeys because it made a decision not to obey. That God is not, or that dog is not accountable to anyone but a little bit of scorn or discipline from me. You are accountable to a God in heaven for your eternal soul. the choices that you make are not just getting a scolding because you disobeyed your master, and a pat on the head when you did right. The consequences that you're choosing are eternal, and they affect their other people. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The Bible says in Ephesians, let's just turn there. Chapter 6, again in verse 5, it says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." Giving us something that we can relate to. A little flesh and blood. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. With fear and trembling. A dog can fear and tremble because he knows it doesn't obey, or it does obey. The same way we should fear and tremble of those that we're servants to. Then it says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Doing the will of God from our heart. Not as eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. God hates hypocrisy. And being a hypocrite. And He gives us the responsibility to make these decisions of ours on our own. The way we live should not be with eye service, trying to please men, but trying to please God. It's so easy for us to develop our own righteousness and live within that realm. And forget that God sees us all the time. "Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." Any good thing that any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You're going to receive good things from the Lord when you do what is right. And on the same token, you're going to receive evil things from the Lord when you do what is wrong. This is about as simple as it can be made. It doesn't matter what you can come up with your theology. If you do wrong, you're going to be punished. And if you do right, you're going to be praised. Is that hard to understand? That is all the Bible talks about from the beginning to the end. You can take little portions of ideas and thoughts that some man gave and twist them all around and turn them into some kind of self-righteousness or doctrines of your own creation, and the world will just take right a hold of it. But if you're not doing from your heart what God wants you to do, you're going to be punished. I don't care how well you may understand your theologies. And you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, whether neither is there respect of any persons with him. And masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. There is no respect of persons with God. Every man will be judged according to his own deeds. There is not a substitute for the way you live. There is not a substitute for how you act. Forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. We are all going to stand before God. Every one of us, all by ourselves. All by ourselves. And there is no respect of persons with God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord. This is something that you have to choose to do. And in the power of His might. If we were on a neutral playing ground and there was no enemy, you could stand on your own, all by yourself, and do what's right in your own power. What I'm talking about is not about your own power. I'm talking about your own choices. You are powerless against Satan. You have no power at all against him. Nor do I. We are absolutely at his mercy in this world. And he has no mercy. We are sunk, doomed, lost, helpless. I don't know how to describe the incapability that we have in this world because of Satan. But Jesus says to stand strong in the power of His might. Not in what He did for us. Stand strong in the power of His might. That's a responsibility. That's a choice that you have to make. To stand strong in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You have to make a choice whether you are going to stand against the wiles of the devil. That choice is entirely up to you. You have no power in your own strength other than that power of this choice to stand. If Christ wouldn't have died, you could have all of that power and all of that choice in the world, and it wouldn't do you one bit of good. But because Christ came, our Savior, our Redeemer, came into this world, laid down His life to defeat this enemy, He has opened the door to this power. Stand. Against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Right there's our enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Yet how much time do we spend fighting flesh and blood? When the men were crucifying Christ on the cross, when the people in the jury and the Sanhedrin and the people who He stood before made their decisions to condemn Him to death, when the multitudes gave their assent to it and said, crucify Him, they were wrestling with flesh and blood. It would be by all appearance that those people were God's enemies, that this flesh and blood mob that was going to kill Him were His enemies. Yet one of the last things He said on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We're either controlled by one power or the other. And when you yield to that power, and you give yourself to that power, you get that power to live unholy or to live holy. To live for Satan and this world, or to live for Christ. Your soul has the ability to choose which one of those you're going to yield to. You're a soul. You live in a body. That body just follows the instructions that the soul gives it. But the soul can be given to either Satan or God, to whoever you want to give it to. The battle is not with flesh and blood. The battle is in who is in control of your soul. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. How many times we get turned aside by what somebody did to us? Jesus said, whenever Peter came and tried to dissuade him from the cross, he looked right at him and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He wasn't wrestling with Peter. He was wrestling with Satan. Peter just happened to allow himself to be used. That's what we've got to guard ourselves against. Allowing ourselves to be used by Satan. Christ never allowed himself to be used by Satan, and he gave us that example that we should strive to never let ourselves be used by Satan. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Sometimes we get mad at people for what they do and how they act. If we do anything more than to try to steer them the right way, we're wrestling with flesh and blood. If we try to avenge ourselves or set ourselves above them, we're wrestling with flesh and blood. And when we're wrestling with flesh and blood, we're allowing ourselves to be used by Satan. God is a spirit, and those that follow Him will walk after the Spirit. This is just simply the way it is. You have a choice in your life to whom you will yield yourself, whether for good or for evil, to follow flesh and blood or to follow the Spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know why people can't understand spiritual things? While they're quoting from the Bible and their theologies, and they can't understand the simplest thing, it's because flesh and blood can't receive those things that are spiritual. That's why the Pharisees hated and wanted Christ dead, because they could not receive those things which are spiritual. It didn't fit with them. As religious as they were, they missed Christ. The whole world missed Christ, except for a few that heard His call and were willing to lay down the flesh and follow the Spirit of God. When Jesus came into this world, He was despised and rejected because men were following their flesh. There was a lot of question about who was Jesus. He didn't fit all the criteria of having the authority of who He was supposed to be. He wasn't speaking the same words that everyone else was speaking. He wasn't on the same page. He was out of step with the world, with the religious world, and they didn't know who He was. And they hated Him. There's a man that's been asking us questions. And his question is, where do we get our authority? Where does our authority come from to stand and to follow God. Where does the authority come from that we have? His argument is that the authority is that we have as a New Testament church goes all the way back to the apostles. And that if you can't follow that successive line of one passing it on to the other all the way back to the apostles, you don't have that authority. In Mark chapter 8, see it. I think it's in 7 where he's talking about it. But Jesus came riding in to the city of Jerusalem. It's in several of the Gospels. But he came riding in on a donkey. I think it's in Luke that as he rode in, people took their coats off and laid down palm branches in front of him so that he could ride into town like a king. And the Pharisees came up and said, "Tell your people to be quiet. You're causing too much fuss." And he said, "If I tell my people to be quiet, these stones will start crying out for who I am." Where did Jesus get his authority? These people, these flesh and blood men, said that they had apostolic succession from Abraham. In John, I think it is in verse 8, Jesus talked to them about that. Or in chapter 8, Jesus said, they said, "We are of Abraham. Verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth." Verse 39, "And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye should love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. When He speaketh a lie, He speaketh of His own, for He is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus made it very clear. They could trace their authority all the way back to Abraham. They could trace their lineage all the way back to Abraham. And Jesus told them, if you were of Abraham, you'd do the works of Abraham. Their authority didn't come in their lineage. Their authority didn't come because they had maintained a church structure for all that many years. Their authority came when they yielded themselves to the truth that speaks forever and ever. When they yielded themselves to obey God, that's where they got their authority. And that's where they got their power. Some people say, well, we get our authority from the Scriptures. We get our authority from the Bible. Is that where we get our authority? There's people all over this world that are jumping up and down saying that that's where they get their authority. That's not where we get our authority. The Scriptures agree perfectly with our authority. But that's not these words that are written down are not where we get our authority. Our authority comes from God. God has given us these things, these Scriptures, these books, history of faithful men throughout it, who have forsaken this world and followed Christ. People use this book to mark their authority. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said that he that hears the will of God and does them is where he got his authority from. We get our authority from yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God to be like Christ, to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow Him. These authorities that derive their authority from someone else, from the Scripture, or from lineage, or wherever else they may find it, some of the meanest and cruelest people that ever walked the face of the earth. And they're doing it in Christ's name. Deceiving people. Sending people to hell. Trying to keep them at all from hearing the authority that speaks from above. Hebrews says that God, who in various times and in different manners spoke to men, but now He's speaking to us from above. Whenever you see someone, a soul, that's a soul that's going to spend its eternity in heaven or in hell. We need to look at them that way. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against those foolish people that do some of the silliest things against their own selves. All they're doing is carrying out their master's bidding. And they're doing a good job of being a servant. They're doing a good job of being a servant. When you see someone mad and in a fight or angry, when you see someone just cutting holes in their bodies and putting little jewelries in it and tattooing themselves all over, got some earphones banging in their head, screaming and yelling on drugs or doing drunk or whatever they do, acting out their fornication right out in public, they're just being good servants to their master. When you see someone trying to turn people away from the truth and in the light zealously, I look at some of the men that are out on the street, their hearts are fully committed to what they're doing. They're fully committed to hooking somebody in their religion. There isn't an ounce of wavering in them to what they're doing. They're good servants. They're faithful servants. They're faithfully not doing what Christ would have them do and hindering anyone that would. People that are writing books and articles about this evangelical Christianity, they're being faithful servants to what they believe. But is what they believe going to match, measure to the cross and to the God who speaks from above? Or is it going to turn out to be nothing more than being a really, really, really kind, loving Pharisee? Pharisees have been made out to be monsters. But I think if we were there, we'd find out they was probably some of the nicest people in town. That probably really didn't want to offend anybody. They had to keep their followings up. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. These people are just being loyal servants to their king. Our battle's with their king. And our responsibility is not to be put to shame by their loyalty. It's one thing that I need to remember. How many people are ashamed of what they love? Well, let's go to Mark 8. verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. May God add his blessings to his words. Father, help us, Lord, to lose our lives for your sake and the gospel. Lord, help us, Father, not to wrestle with flesh and blood. Lord, to put on our armor and to stand against the wiles of the devil, Father. We're helpless, Lord, in this battle. But Lord, you are the King and power of all things, Father. And we just yield ourselves to you. Give us power and grace to overcome in this dangerous world, in this dangerous time. Fill us with your power and your spirit to fulfill what you want us to do, Lord. That we might yield ourselves as wholly to you, Father, as any man ever yielded himself to the devil. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, first of all, to be like Christ. Then, help us, Lord, have a message to deliver to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
My soul be on my God.
Oh, my hand, my hand, pray.
Amen.